Welcome back. Well, we're nearly a week into April and the VAT increase from 14 to 15% has taken effect and will weigh on South African pockets despite mitigating factors like zero-rated items and that basket it sits in. Now, in 2013, Judge Dennis Davis headed a committee to review the country's tax policy framework, and he is of the view that we could have avoided the increase if corruption was kept in check. He joins us on the line now with more insight. Thanks so much, Judge, for joining us today. So there's been lots of talk about VAT in South Africa having been below the global norm for the longest while at 14%. And so an increase to 15%, certainly not out of line. What have you made of the move that has been made and South Africa's ability to digest it?
Well, I don't think we had much option when you think about the fiscal and economic context in which the budget 2018 was presented. We were running a deficit. It is clear that we weren't going to get the revenue we expected. There had to be adjustments downwards, and I think that's been shown up in the April figures that was accurate. And we had to find, if you wish, something like 20, 30 billion. And where was one going to find that from? We'd run out of options, meaning in the previous couple of years, one had been able to advise the government to the range of alternatives, which did not involve that, but by this year, there was nothing left in the cupboard other than a VAT increase if you were really going to be able to plug the hole.
Yeah. With that step being taken, what impact do you see the increase having specifically on poor and low-income households, especially in the context of some speculation doing the rounds that, this may not be implemented correctly, we will see taking advantage of the opportunity to potentially hike prices with this due cause?
Well, if they hike prices beyond the VAT, then quite frankly, one would hope that the various agencies, including the police and SARS, whoever it is, actually take very stern action. There is an effect. Of course there is. It is true that if you look at that holistically, the vast majority of that is paid by wealthier people. It's probably true that the poorest sections of the community will find that they have to spend perhaps between 100, 200 or 300 rand a year more than they were going to do otherwise. Now, that shouldn't be belittled. That's a lot of money for those sorts of people. And the way one's going to have to deal with that, as you know, there's now, through our committee, we're taking an investigation into whether we can expand the range of zero ratings in order to cushion that effect, as well as looking at other measures, poverty relief measures, which can ensure that a targeted relief is given for the people at the receiving end of that.
As you say, there's this panel of independent experts that's going to be reviewing the current list of zero-rated items, just honing in on expanding that listed basic food item list, Judge, to help put things into perspective here. How much pressure does the current 19 zero-rated food items actually alleviate?
Well, I don't know. That's a really interesting question. I think it does, obviously, but it's not enough. So, for example, you've only got brown bread, not other forms of bread. There are other items that possibly could be added to that basket, including, for example, as I understand, poor people would probably spend more money on poultry than they would on, say, red meat. Now, so one can expand those items. Generally speaking, zero ratings are unbelievably inefficient, and they're inefficient because, frankly, we also consume those items, and therefore, why should we get the benefit of the zero rating? So it costs a huge amount of money, and it actually doesn't target people properly. Now, if you had a totally competent institution, there are a range of possibilities that you could have instead of the zero ratings. You could, for example, decide that you were going to take all the money that we save from zero ratings and target it into further poverty relief. For example, that every child in the rural school and in the peri-urban schools gets one hot meal a day. A proper meal, nutritionist meal, and a whole range of other alternatives. The trouble is that until now, through the bleak last decade, that money would have probably disappeared to Dubai rather than accruing to the tummies of children who need it. So the zero rating is an inefficient system, but maybe it's the only one available at this particular point. So really, the whole point of the committee that we set up is to answer the question that you posed to me, which would be the zero ratings, which would be targeted most efficiently at relieving poverty relief. There are, quite a few. I mean, basic medicines perhaps should be included, soap should be included, etc. And we'll have to think about those issues because, quite honestly, the whole idea of this is to ensure that poorer people do not find themselves at the receiving end of increased taxes.
Judge, of course, what you've put on the table all seems very logical, and you've highlighted some of the challenges, that have come with taking, things broader than just expanding the basket on zero-rated food items. But talk us through, where your confidence levels are sitting at this stage of the game in turning that picture around and getting the system to work more effectively, given the kind of changes we've seen at a leadership level.
Well, I think we have seen changes, and I think, for example, it's perfectly clear we now have an acting commissioner of Inland Revenue, Mark Kengen, a very experienced person. One must presume that there will be a new commissioner appointed at some point. Clearly, there's therefore new wind blowing through the South African Revenue Service. There is obviously a commitment on the part of the president to deal harshly with corruption, government corruption, and private sector corruption. Now, all of that is absolutely crucial. If we don't do that, a couple of things happen. We continue to spend money in ways that we shouldn't be. Let me give you an example. I don't know how much has gone out through the Guptas and others. I hear astonishing figures running into many, many billions, which, of course, would help enormously. Wouldn't have had either that increase had not been for that. But then, in addition, if you look at the Auditor General, who's suggesting between 60 to 80 billion of money, which is wasted expenditure. That's not all corrupt. That's just perhaps expenditure that hasn't gone to where it should. Now, if we saved 25% of that, we wouldn't have had to have a VAT increase. And then, in addition to which, if we can start turning things around with the new wind and clearly the steps that have already been taken, then it means, it seems to me, that you start having much more accountable governments. And once you have more accountable governments, I think it makes SARS, a revamped SARS task, much easier. Yeah. Because one of the things I've gone on about at some length is the way in which tax morality has declined. The shortfall in tax is not only due to what may be problems in the administration, etc. It's unquestionably also due to an eroding morality of people saying, why should I pay tax when the money doesn't go to where it should go?
Absolutely. When do you expect this review process to be completed by?
Well, the review process of the VAT's got to be done by June. So we've got a couple of months to do it in. We've basically, under the leadership of Professor Ingrid Woodard, who's the Dean of Commerce at UCT and has been on the Davis Tax Committee since inception, and a whole range of people drawn from various sectors. So there's a range of perspectives. And then what they're going to do, in addition to that, is we'll hold meetings. So anybody, any institution, any group who's interested in wanting to make representations in this regard will be invited, probably over the next month or 6 weeks, to make fulsome representations in relation to what should be a zero rated, or alternatively other imaginative ideas that they can have for ensuring that poorer people actually get a better deal in relation to poverty relief. And by June, one has to give a report to the minister, and hopefully we can then implement some of these changes to bring about the relief which clearly is needed.
Well, that June deadline is certainly standing out as a prominent one, not only for this, but also when it comes to the mining charter. We were just chatting to the Minister of Mineral Resources about that. Judge Dennis Davis, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Judge Dennis Davis, of course, is the chair of the Davis Tax Commission.